Thank you so much, Steve Bertrand. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. It's the Monday version of our show. We're at 312-981-7200. Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Billy. You had a good weekend?
Yeah, it was fun. It's funny how when the weather is this nice, it's almost impossible to not have a good weekend. Your Mother's Day was what you hoped it would be?
It was pretty nice. I told Jim not to buy me flowers because...
Now, here's the tricky thing, and I don't know how it ended, but whenever the woman in your life says, you don't have to buy me flowers, it's like a mouse trap.
This is why it must suck to be married to me. I said, don't get me flowers. I told the kids, don't tell Dan not to get me flowers. And they're like, why not? I said, because it's just a lot of work finding a vase. I don't have a green thumb on the inside of the house.
Yeah.
Maybe Dad should buy me plants.
Oh.
So it worked out great. We went to a couple of nurseries and he picked out, well, I picked out the plants, but he picked out some that looked like lightsabers. And I planted all weekend and it was really great.
Yeah, you did what you wanted to do.
Yeah, and now these flowers aren't going to die. They're plants in the yard that I can look at and go, wow, thank you,
perfect.
Jim.
It has been my experience that any time the woman in my life or women in my life say, you don't, flowers are unnecessary. You don't have to do that. If you follow through and don't get them flowers, it creates a bad situation.
I know, but sometimes I think you guys feel obligated to do stuff. And really,
no.
I just wanted people to be nice to me on Mother's Day. One day out of the year, that's it.
Right.
Don't yell at me. Don't demand things from me.
We fall into these false requirements. You know, you have to do this, you have to do that. And
well, on Mother's Day and Valentine's Day, try not doing anything. Even if your wife or girlfriend says, you don't have to do it. Try not doing anything and see how that ends
up. Because you have to. And it shouldn't be like that.
Right.
I pretty much did nothing yesterday.
Did you?
Attaboy. Yeah. Sharon was good with that?
Yeah, you know, we picked up something for her that she'd wanted about a month ago.
So a new husband?
Like, yeah.
That's offensive.
I'm teasing you.
It's probably not true
either.
Was
it something big or was it just something that...
If it was something I wanted to tell you, I would have said it, wouldn't I?
Something.
No, golf club. She's
oh,
got a
that's
golf.
Awesome.
She's in a golf league starting tonight, so I bet on her.
Perfect timing.
And, and so we're like, you know, well, this counts, and
that's
it's done.
That's sweet.
And she's, wow. I think we're both pretty good with that. I don't expect anything.
Steve, what do you make of this? Wendy, you already know this, but about 3 weeks ago, one of my daughters, Reese, said, you know what mom really wants for Mother's Day?
This is a great story.
She says she would love two new love seats. Now, we've had the same love seats for about 20-something years, and they're showing their age. So I said, well, I got to be honest, I wasn't prepared to spend that much money on
a
Mother's
Day present.
That's a huge present. So he goes, that's all she wants. You know, she said to me, that's all I want. So I didn't want to surprise her and get love seats that I picked out.
Oh, that would be bad.
The leopard print would not have gone over.
Right.
Actually, he would have picked out like comic strip
right.
print.
Oh, the Archies. Yeah, the Archies. They're great, right? Now they're in our living room all the time.
Little big boys on
right.
there.
Right. So, so about a week and a half ago, I said, you know, let's get some new love seats and that, right? That'll be your Mother's Day present.
From
so,
all of us, from the
everybody.
Two girls. And she's not your mother, but you
she's
help.
She's not, right. So we picked them out and we signed the deal. They're going to be delivered and stuff like that. And then on the way home, she goes, you know, those aren't really a Mother's Day gift. And I go, well, how do you figure? And she goes, well, because we really needed two new love seats. So we were eventually going to get them anyway. That's a trick.
That's the trick.
I was tricked.
Now, you know, we each have lovely wives.
Yes.
But that's the thing, Sharon, we're like, no. And for me, that's a perfect gift. You know what I want for Father's Day? I want the numbers that I can put on my house for my address.
Yeah.
I have to get it anyway.
Yeah.
Pick it up,
so
put
get
it up
it
on the house, and then it's, you know, killed two birds with one
right.
stone.
Right. I like that kind of thing.
We were going to get golf clubs anyway, so now, boom, that's out of the way.
I like that. It's something you're going to get anyway and just make it the gift.
Right.
See, now on paper, that seems like a foolproof plan, doesn't it?
But, eggs. I was going to get eggs anyway, honey.
Right.
Well, all right. Right. There has to be a gift element of it.
Right.
Not groceries.
Right.
You'll find your oat nut bread in the bag.
It's a special treat for you for Mother's Day. Yeah. You feel an obligation, and rightfully so. I mean, my wife's fantastic. She does great things for me every day. So why not pay her some tribute, right? But I feel I was hornswoggled.
You were bamboozled.
I was bamboozled and hornswoggled.
And there, it's just that you have that elation, like it's done.
Right.
Gifts in the bag, and then boom,
nope.
Cold sweat.
Nope, it was not done. There
was
more.
I just wish people wouldn't feel obligated to get the proverbial flowers and candy.
Yeah.
Just, you know, something they like. Honestly, just the fact that Jim went to the nurseries with me to pick out plants and then he carried all that stuff. To me, that was a great
enough.
Mother's Day.
Think of how much money was spent yesterday on things that people were supposed to buy.
Right.
That no one really wanted and no one really wanted to buy.
But it's an obligation.
But you had to do it.
But it is nice if you're the girl or the woman in this situation to receive flowers. That's nice. But it is kind of a... obligate. It is.
Right.
It's
a defensive move.
Right. Isn't it better to get your wife or girlfriend or mom flowers on a day that is not Mother's Day or Valentine's Day or her birthday? Shouldn't that mean more? You go, I went out of my way. It's no holiday. It's just my way
just
of saying.
Just because you're you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, can I just say, I just got a text from my wife. She said the clubs only count for Mother's Day.
Oh, good.
Apparently I'm on the hook for her birthday.
Yeah.
But that's why I let Jim off the hook, and I said to the kids, too, no flowers. And really, Dylan's like, why? I go, it's a lot of work. I got to find a vase. I got to change the water. I made it sound like it was a hassle so they wouldn't get it. And then again, plants will keep living.
See, now this is how thoughtful Reese and Kylie are. It wouldn't have occurred to me. Not only did they get my wife a stunning array of flowers, they also got her a vase from Crate and Barrel that the flowers went in.
Oh, see,
and
that's perfect.
Somehow, I don't understand how they pulled this off, but the flowers in the vase are of similar color. I don't know how they correspond to that. That's way above
Phil,
my...
You give yourself no credit.
I couldn't have done that
you
as well.
You have eyeballs, don't you?
I do, but it... I don't think I could have made it look as perfect. Like, it looked like it was from a magazine. It was so nice.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Because, you
nice.
Know, just a bouquet that you got to find a vase for and you don't really like any of your vases, it's such a hassle.
Get an empty 2-liter Coke bottle or
right,
something.
That works.
Stick the dipped That's carnation
fine.
In it.
Yeah.
I will tell you, we went out to dinner then with my in-laws last night, six of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to, La Buona Vita, which is in LaGrange, which is a sponsor on this radio station.
Oh.
Really delicious. And as we were leaving, each mom was handed a single rose.
Nice
That
touch.
Was really beautiful.
Yeah, that's a very nice
And then
touch.
Jim's like, I thought you didn't want flowers. I said, this is a single one, and I did put it in a beer bottle. So there you go.
So it's better to get one from La Buona Vita than a dozen
right.
from Jim. Sure. That makes sense.
All in all, a good day. The weather was, that. You know what? That was all of our presents.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
It was
all
hard
weekend.
Not to enjoy a day like yesterday. Yeah. All right. Well, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. And then a whole lot more coming up on the show. Wendy, I believe you're getting a massage on today's show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, I didn't wear
massage
clothes? Appropriate clothes.
You're fine.
I couldn't figure out how that was going to end.
We'll find out next. Cliffhanger. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Speaking of thieves, did you get cyber attacked during the weekend?
No, but this is concerning to me because we had a lot of emails from our IT department, Art Nasseri mainly.
Yes.
Saying, you know, careful, what's it called? Kevin, did we find out what it's called?
The name of the virus?
The Why it's, Cry or You're Crying or Crybaby.
I think it is called that. I think it is called that.
And so I've been doing a little research. I do have an Apple, a Macintosh, I guess, a Mac, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that, at this point, has not been affected, but other PCs have. And I've heard things that if you're up to date on your antivirus and you do the patches that come through on your software, you should be good to go. Well, then how do all these major corporations get hacked
Good
into
question.
When I imagine their antivirus and firewall is way, want to cry.
Well, yeah,
I just want to cry.
The name of the virus is that,
No, I
want right?
to cry.
Oh, you want to cry. You're very
emotional.
Emotional over this.
That's what it's called, want to cry. How does it attack like places that have way bigger security than we do on our
Good
own?
Good question.
Although there's more to get to.
Oh, yeah, a lot more.
What do they care about pictures of my kids? So they'll go for the businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I believe FedEx has been compromised.
And they asked for a very small amount in ransom.
$300.
They were asking $300 in bitcoins, which you would think if you were going to bring a company to a standstill by cyber attacking them, you could get a lot more money. I don't understand why they've limited it to $300 in bitcoins.
Because it's like 250,000 computers affected. Times that by 300.
Oh, so each one has to pay individually? I didn't know if
you know, it's a group effort. Hey, you want to give me $5?
If you get a group discount, it's not a lot of money. Here's my fear is I keep getting alerts saying that I can and should update my security, but I'm afraid that somebody trying to hack in already. I'm when that box pops up, because I get it about two or three times a week saying there's an update, and I go, if I click on this, am I allowing somebody access to the computer that shouldn't have access to my computer?
Is it from Microsoft?
I can't tell. It looks like it is, but
then go.
If you were a hacker, you would make it look like it is.
Oh, I know. It's amazing what they do. You can just go into your settings and see if it's time to update.
If it's legit, yeah.
You don't know how to do any of this.
I have not done. Yeah, I don't do that
have
stuff.
Have the girls do it
right.
For you.
Yeah.
It's just scary to me. And here's my other question, because right away, you know, you think, are the Russians at it again? But some Russian businesses have been compromised as well. Do they just...
hack
do
themselves.
That, yes, just to say, hey.
We got it going too, comrade.
That's my question. The truth is out there. Hi, Mark.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Fine. We were not hacked. Were
cry.
You hacked? Were you cyber hacked?
No. Just wanted to say, because you were like the big businesses, they have the security and stuff. Well, the health department in England was hacked because they're using XP due to budget cuts.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And Microsoft doesn't update XP
right.
anymore. I did hear that they are going to do it for this. They're going to do a special patch.
Well, it's a little late, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, because they've already been hacked. So what do you do now?
Change systems?
I apologize. I really don't. I don't know.
No, it's all right. None of us know.
Yeah. No, I mean, they can apologize.
Right.
They can apologize.
Sorry,
I thought you were apologizing.
That's about it.
All right.
Well, I could apologize. Whatever.
And it's a shame because I liked Windows XP. That was one of my favorite operating systems. But yes, if you had that, if you didn't update to Windows 10, they stopped issuing patches on Windows XP.
Yeah.
Boy, that's sad. They can't afford to upgrade to a better system, and look what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that info, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Have a good week.
I'm probably hacked and don't even know it.
You seem vulnerable.
I want to cry.
Perfect name. Now, does the hacker get to pick the name, or does somebody who's reporting on, who determines what the name is?
Oh, they pick the name because that's the attachment.
Oh, that's excellent.
I don't really like it. I think it could have been more creative.
You know, like in the mafia, you don't get to pick your own name. Like, they pick the name for you. I wondered if the same rule applied when you're a cyber hacker.
No, because it comes in an attachment. So when you if you see WannaCry, don't click accept.
Right. Okay.
Don't download it.
All right.
Have you done that yet?
No, I've not.
You don't even know.
I've not downloaded anything in over a year. I think we're all safe. All right, let's take a quick break. News is next, and then Wendy's getting a massage, and you can too. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, in retrospect, this song doesn't make sense.
I was going to say, I don't get it.
We're off by one letter. This, of course, message in a bottle, but we're talking massages. But other than that one letter, we nailed it.
Good job, Bill.
Massage in a bottle. let's meet Dennis Freymeyer. Dennis is a massage therapist over at Massage Envy, which has 8 locations here in Chicagoland. Thanks for coming up, Dennis. How
good
are you?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me here.
And
today.
There are tons in the suburbs as well.
Oh, yeah.
49
of them.
Wow.
Yes. You can go to massageenvy.com to find the one nearest you. Dennis, I was telling you, I haven't had many massages in my life. Mm-hmm. The very first one I had was purchased by my girlfriends for me at my bachelorette party.
Mm-hmm.
We went to...
was this done by a quote-unquote policeman?
No, but
no?
I have
All
to
right.
tell you, this was the most awkward thing that I've ever had. We went to the Grand Geneva in Lake Geneva, and my girlfriends booked the room overnight. It was a weekend, a spa weekend.
Nice.
And they didn't... It was supposed to be a surprise, so they didn't ask me what I wanted.
Yeah.
So they booked me for this tub soak. I don't like baths.
Mm.
I mean, I got to admit, I was kind of, it was very nice because right. it smelled nice sure. and you're in there. But I'm just kind of laying in the tub going, okay, now what do? I want a drink. Yeah. You know, this is a bachelorette party. Yeah. Right after the bath, I was taken into a massage room. And the guy comes in and introduces himself. And yeah. I said, hi, have you had a massage before? He asks me. I said, no. And he goes, okay, well, I'm a man, you're a woman. I said, yeah, I figured that out right away.
Oh, good move.
And he goes, I just want you to tell me if I do anything inappropriate, please speak up. So right. how am I going to relax for that being my first massage?
That is a very good question. I mean, you don't relax after after a question like that. I mean, you start off with some
Wasn't
other
that weird?
Yeah,
And he was dressed like Zorro, you told me?
Okay, maybe it had something to do with
weird.
The bachelorette
yeah, that's
concept.
Very bizarre. And it doesn't help. I always try to warn people away from surprising someone with a massage.
Yeah.
And it happened a couple years ago at Massage Envy. A woman surprised her husband with a massage. And by surprise, I mean walked him into the lobby blindfolded.
Oh, wow.
And took the blindfold off in front of me, and we're standing face to face. And I have kind of a beard now, but sometimes it gets a little bit more than that, you know. So it's like, hello, here's your massage therapist. Here's the guy's gonna be touching for an hour. And he had never had a massage before in his life, and she hadn't asked him anything about it at all. And, you know, like we were saying before the segment started, massage is a very, no pun intended, like touchy thing.
Yeah,
like, people are very sensitive about it. So if you are going to surprise someone with a massage, like, give them a heads up beforehand
right.
so they can kind of get mentally prepared for it, especially if you know that they've never had a
and
massage
it,
before.
It was weird. I will admit, by the end of it, it was like, wow, this feels really good. Mm-hmm. But it was just a very weird way to be introduced to the world of massage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm sorry that you had that experience.
What sort of training does somebody who does this for a living go through?
Initially, in Illinois, it's at least, I think, 600 clock hours is required in a training program. The program that I went through here in Chicago at the Soam Institute, it's 750 clock hours. And like any other profession afterwards, like every couple of years, you have to have a required
refresher
amount of,
course.
Like refresher courses, continuing education courses.
That's a lot of hours.
It is a lot, but it goes by really quick.
Does it?
Yeah. Depending on if you go like 2 full days a week or like 1 half day and 1 full day.
Yeah.
Anywhere between 11 to 14 months, you can finish up.
And you're not allowed to give anybody a massage in Illinois unless you're a licensed massage therapist.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So I can't even, like, if my wife has a back rub,
no.
if I rub her back,
I go to jail. Now, that's a good excuse, and that's how you can get that's how you can get out of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I will say my husband is very good giving a massage, and then he wants me to reciprocate sometimes, like, oh, my shoulder's really stiff. My hands burn out in, like, a second.
Mm-hmm.
That's some strength training you have in your wrists and fingers.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's something that you slowly build up. And when you start off in your massage training, that's what every student has to go through is,
I saw
you know, building
fingers.
That up and then working that up and then, like, doing, like, 1 session, 2 sessions, 3 sessions in a row.
Look at Dennis's fingers, Wendy. He obviously works out. You can tell by his fingers.
Yeah, yeah.
You have very ripped fingers.
All right.
Oh, thank you.
We originally thought having someone up from Massage Envy would be a good gift for mom for Mother's Day, but timing is nothing in this business.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps maybe you slighted your mom or your wife, and this is a good option. But if mom has never had a massage before, discuss it with her. Are there different types of massages that, like, people who have never had one, you can say, okay, there's this type, there's that type?
There is. I mean, in the standards that we kind of categorize just for, like, easy explanation is Swedish massage or relaxation massage is what you tend to think of when you think of massage. Deep tissue massage, where you get work harder and deeper into the muscles. Hot stone massage, which utilizes hot stone in the massage. And then also Massage Envy, we offer things like prenatal massage for pregnant clients.
Oh, nice.
Well. What I would say, easing someone into massage, especially if they've never had one before, and this is part of the therapist's job, is when you get into the room, is making sure that every customer or client understands that there is no cookie cutter, there is no set one massage that
really
has to happen. And during your intake with a massage therapist, like, you should be able to talk, like, what areas that you're comfortable having worked with, worked with. If it's your first massage ever, you don't even have to disrobe, which a lot of people feel like you have to do. I've done plenty of massages on first-time clients where they were completely clothes.
Right.
Like a tank
session.
Top and shorts.
Like
or something.
A tank top and shorts, or even, I mean, just wearing like a full, like,
yeah.
Like what you're wearing now, like long sleeve shirts.
What about you? You keep your clothes on during the massage?
No.
Not always?
No,
that's fine.
Massage Envy, nationwide wellness franchise providing massage. And I've been reading so much about the benefits of massage, obviously for stress reduction, for rheumatoid arthritis. Mm-hmm. I know that's helpful. I've heard for ADHD, it's very good. Mm-hmm. Some of the things you wouldn't imagine would be helpful having a massage are, can you name some more?
Rheumatoid arthritis, ADHD, anything that is musculoskeletal or joint related, or arthritis,
anxiety,
multiple sclerosis, or anything, you know, psychologically related, like anxiety, oppression, things like that. Massage is going to definitely have a benefit to it.
Immediate reaction to this, like if you've got some sort of stress or pain, mm-hmm. does it go away within minutes or does it take some time after the massage?
It really all depends on every person. Like some people, the pain melts away immediately afterwards, or especially if you're doing like muscle tension that is more built up and it's deeper and it's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
It is very normal, and a therapist should tell you this afterwards, like you'll work deep in the massage,
you're sore
and then
afterwards.
You're going to be sore for a couple days afterwards, and that's just part of the process.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. My biggest problem with stress and anxiety is I carry it all in my neck and mm-hmm. trapezius muscle. Is that the most common, would you think?
I would say that is the most common, that and the lower back.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
is
have lower
bad?
Back.
No,
no? Just my shoulders. I mean, I'm just always tensed up. I'm ready
yeah.
to fight.
Yeah.
Gotta
I mean,
be
also,
prepared.
I mean, and for sure, and that's true with everybody, because everybody, we are sitting at a desk for the most part all day long. Or even if you're not at a desk, you're sitting at a, you're over a phone or a tablet all day long, and it's all, you know,
right.
head down,
scrunched,
yeah.
head down, tilted forward yeah. all the time.
Dennis, I had a Swedish massage a couple years ago, and it was just a regular massage, but the guy used a fake Swedish accent during the massage. That's weird, right?
That is definitely very weird.
How does this feel? He kept doing that, and there was no reason for that.
there's no reason.
Yeah, I don't know why he would do that.
All right, his name is Dennis Freimeyer, and which location of Massage Envy do you inhabit?
The Lincoln Park North location at Diversity in Halstead.
Eight locations
it's
in Chicagoland.
It's mm-hmm. a lot of stress there.
But 49 all over the place, and you can go to massageenvy.com. I have a son who's going to be 18 next week. On the 23rd, I guess 2 weeks. And he carries a lot of stress and anxiety in his shoulders and neck as well. This is a silly question, but is there an age that in which you can go to Massage Envy? Because I keep saying, call them up. There's one right there.
You can come in at any age. And I'm not sure if the cutoff is exactly 17 or 18, but you can get massaged at any age. But if you're under a certain age, a parent or guardian needs to be in the room.
That makes sense.
For the entire massage. And I have done that with clients at Massage Envy.
Yeah.
I think as young as 10 years old, I've had clients before.
What's the cutoff on the other end? Because I have friends who are over 100 and I want to give them a
bring them in.
Very brittle. I will warn you.
Bring them on. I had a guy about a year ago. He had to be well into his 90s.
Really?
And you know, Massage Envy, we encourage like regular massage. Whereas I'm talking about, you know, our benefits program, our membership package or whatever. And he was very, very adamant. I get one massage a year.
Yeah.
That's it.
He didn't want to sign a 10-year commitment.
Yeah.
He was a little leery.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
But here's the thing, too. You can go to massageenvy.com or call your local one, and you can book a singular massage, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do the monthly program or the ongoing thing?
No, we have the introductory rate to come in for the first time, try it out, and see. And then if you don't want to sign up for the membership, you can still come in like anytime.
Yeah. Are there oils involved?
There are oils, lotions, creams.
And who decides? Who picks that? Is that your decision or the person getting the massage or who?
90% of the time, it's the therapist's decision, whatever we feel most comfortable working with. I like to use a cream because it leaves less residue on the body afterwards than, say, a lotion.
Wendy wants oil and vinegar. Can you do that?
That we'd have to talk that one out.
All right. Fine.
All right. Any questions about the massage world? 312-981-7200. Dennis Freimeyer is here. And maybe if you could work the neck and stuff, you know. Is that something you can do as, like, quote, a chair massage?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Can I leave my clothes on?
Oh, for sure. Definitely. Especially in front of the windows here on
All
Michigan
right,
Avenue.
$5 less if you do, Wendy.
Yeah.
All right, you can go to massageenvy.com to find out any more information, and we will continue. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It helps if you turn the button on your microphone, you know.
Nope. I refuse.
We're talking with Dennis Freymeyer. He's a massage therapist at Massage Envy in the Lincoln Park area. 8 locations in Chicago, but there's 49 all over the place. And you can go to massageenvy.com to find one near you. There is one near me, and I'm going to take my son to get one. John, you have a question for Dennis. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just kind of want to know how a massage helps with ADHD.
I have been doing a little research in this, and I have some things, benefits of a regular massage for ADHD, and maybe, Dennis, you can confirm these. Mm-hmm. Massage may encourage more restful sleep, and I know if a kid sleeps better, mm-hmm. their symptoms of ADHD are less.
Oh, that is definitely very true.
How does it help you sleep better?
I mean, anything, any kind of massage, like whether it's relaxation or deep tissue. I mean, just the act of like taking that hour, an hour and a half of like self-care and just a caring touch from another human being, that's going to help calm your mind, calm your nerves, and help calm the muscles down so you have a more restful sleep at
and
night.
It says also, John, that may improve mood, may help with anger control, all mm-hmm. these things. If you're feeling better on the inside, all that stuff falls into place, and may improve focus at school. How can massage improve focus at all? Do you know anything about that, John? Or, excuse me, Dennis?
Oh, no, that's okay. So the thing, I mean, with any kind of massage or what kind of condition that you're working with, like massage, like the constant like touch and the working of the muscles, the best way I've heard it explained before is that it makes your body, it makes your muscles, it makes your nerves more aware of itself.
Oh.
And a body that is more aware of itself is going to interact and move through the world.
Does that make sense to you, John?
Yep.
Do you have ADHD?
No, my daughter does.
I do. Okay. My kids do too. And I've not tried massage for it, but I've heard great things about it.
So well, I appreciate it.
All right, John, good luck to
thank
you.
Thank you.
Dennis, is there any disorder you might have where a massage would be a bad idea? Is there any flip side to this coin?
That is a great question. There are not things where massage would be a bad idea, but there are some conditions where you would want to check with a physician first just to be absolutely safe. Things,
right.
Things such as a cancer or even like certain kinds of like aggressive arthritis or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's always a good idea before you get a massage to check in with your physician and make
sure
you get that cleared.
Good.
On a side note, I like getting acupuncture. All the stress, I clench my jaw. I don't grind my teeth. I just clench when mm-hmm. I sleep. So obviously a lot of stress in the neck and head. Acupuncture has helped with that, but that's something massage can help with too, can it?
Massage can absolutely work with it. I mean, especially talking about like the neck and shoulders and like
yep.
the clenching of mm-hmm. the jaw. And a lot of times I will have people come in and say, you know, neck, shoulders, and I do the thing. I clench, I grab my teeth at night, but you can't do anything really about that, can you? I'm like, no, yeah, but we can absolutely do some work like up in here, like in this area.
Wendy's a biter though. If she bit you during the massage, would you be upset?
That would be a first, certainly.
Yeah? All right.
That would be a first.
Well, I mean, it makes total sense when you're stressed about something. And honestly, in this world, somebody is stressed about at least one thing.
Sure.
At least.
Mm-hmm.
Our muscles tense up. It is the fight or flight defense. Mm-hmm. So it seems to make sense that if you loosen things up, they say stretching is one of the best things you can do in your life.
Absolutely.
And who is limber enough without stretching? You have to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that it wouldn't help to have your muscles more relaxed and fluid. Doesn't your body function better then?
Exactly. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, like just having your muscles work and taking that time for self-care, it relaxes you more. It makes your body more aware of itself in the world. And you're just going to move through the world better.
I'm a little concerned. You said once you get a massage, if it's your first one,
mm-hmm.
you're going to feel some aches and pains for the next couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any, like, you want to put some Icy Hot on that or something? Or does that not matter? Is it just too deep?
No, I mean, if you're sore after massage, like any kind of soreness, like you can put ice or some kind of Icy Hot on to help with that. That is not to necessarily say you should always be sore after
right.
massage. Like if you just want to go in and relax and relieve tension or anxiety, definitely check in with your therapist to make sure that you're not looking for any kind of deeper pressure and you're just looking to relax.
Right. All right.
Someone has texted in, can I request a female masseuse?
Yes, that is a great question. And I would say, especially if this is your first time ever getting a massage and you're introducing yourself to that world, don't hesitate to make it clear what gender you are more comfortable working with.
Can you request a certain height?
You cannot request that.
No. Hair color?
No. I would insist on that.
That would be a first, but no, not right. A certain height.
All right.
All right. Well, we will give it a try with my son because he plays guitar. He's constantly on a computer. He's slouching playing the guitar in his bedroom. And I just think it'd be good for kids to have it. And you do. What's the youngest kid you've ever massaged?
I would say not at massage.
Anybody, Wendy asked all of our guests that question. Yeah.
Come on. I'm not. Get your mind out of the gutter, Bill. I know that babies get massages. Yeah.
When I used to do, chair massage out of a grocery store, just kind of like a walk up by the express checkouts. I had parents bring their kids as young as like 5, 6, 7 years old. And I think that's great because a lot of times as adults, we are so weird about the idea of touch because we're not introduced to that idea younger in age. So, I mean, anything like as young as like 4, 5, 6, or there is also, you know, infant massage.
See,
is very much a thing.
I think you thought I was kidding.
No, I knew you meant it. Now, years ago, there was a thing called Rolfing. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Rolling on the floor laughing?
No, it's like a Rolfing. It's like a mean massage.
Rolfing is a much more aggressive kind of massage that works.
Where did you hang out when you were younger?
There's some Rolf parlors by Midway Airport that I go to.
Parlors? Interesting. Okay. But Rolfing is it's a more aggressive kind of massage that works the fascia, which is the tissue that surrounds the muscles.
Yeah. They beat you up.
And it really all depends. Like, I did a Rolfing. I did, like, several Rolfing sessions about a year ago. And the thing is, like, during the session itself, it was the most... And I wouldn't say pain, but like the most like intense feel, like, you know, muscle getting worked feeling that I've had before. But then afterwards, I never felt any kind of kickback pain.
Really?
Or soreness.
Wow.
So it's not for everybody, but if you're interested, definitely.
Yeah. If you're like Bill and you get your freak on, you can go do it.
Very rough. Me and the pirates.
Mm-hmm. All right, Massage Envy. Go to massageenvy.com. Thank you for coming up. I just had a bunch of questions, and I was mainly concerned with how old you have to be, and if it's under, I think, 18, a parent needs to be in the room.
In the room at Massage Envy.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dennis Freimeyer, and
thanks.
I think I'm going to get a little massage during the news.
Yeah,
I felt
you
funny
should.
Doing it while I'm on the air.
No, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
You don't want it. You know, when people work out and they work out and lift weights and those noises they make,
right.
Those are like sex sounds. I'm sorry, but they are. And I can only imagine when you're getting a massage if you're going, oh my God. You know, I didn't want to do that on the air. So we'll do
like
that during the news.
Says.
Thank you, Dennis Freimeyer.
Thanks,
Dennis.
Bye-bye.
Take a break, and then news is next at 720 WGN.
Hey, Steve, can I get your opinion on something?
Absolutely.
You're a jerk. You're a jerk.
I'm not asking Steve's opinion on that. That's your opinion.
I'm really not going to comment on that.
We had Dennis in from massage therapy, and he explained about, you know, getting a massage and how good it is for you. And then Wendy got a massage.
A shoulder massage.
It looked like
it was
a very
awesome.
Relaxing massage.
Except for you know, when your head is looking through the hole.
Yeah.
Bill kneels down underneath, and he's like, hi, Wendy.
Yeah, we played Submarine Commander.
No,
it was fun.
You ruined everything.
No, I didn't.
That's not how you play Submarine Commander. Go ahead.
All right. So after the massage is over... Dennis, is just making some small talk, and that's usually where you get the tip.
Right.
Yeah,
but
I didn't
Wendy
tip him.
Decided that he was not going to get a tip.
You didn't tip him?
I have a 20 and I have $2.
Well, somewhere within the middle of that would be a good tip.
A $22 tip, I think you would take that.
Yeah.
No, just give it to me, and I can go track him down.
Run him down?
I mean, you were very vocal. I could hear you
reacting
to the massage.
I did it once, and that was intentional.
Yeah. Oh,
it felt very good. And,
yeah.
You know, I didn't.
Sorry. You got to tip your masseuse. That made us all look bad.
I think he's a masseur, actually.
Is he? Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
You got to
tip your masseur.
So you had a good massage, even though you weren't wearing, what weren't you wearing?
You were dressed like Princess Leia, the slave Leia, right?
You guys know we're on the air.
Hey, did you see? Can I just say?
Yeah.
I've been laughing all morning. You know, Mark Harmon did that Dancing with the Stars over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, on our website, WGNradio.com, is some
footage.
And he's wearing this, like, flamenco shirt.
Really?
He looked great in it.
What?
He did.
Now, you know, Steve, I'm playing
him. It's like a V-cut.
In this tennis match,
yeah.
this tennis match on Wednesday night, you don't think he'll wear that same outfit, do you?
I don't know. Just dress like you're going to do a little tango or something. Put him off. Put some frills.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
I can't find it.
Where is it? At WGNradio.com?
That's what I saw.
In the fashion section?
No, actually, it's in the...
Don't ever wear this again section?
It's in the pest section. No.
Who wore it better, Jose Greco or Mark Harmon?
Right. Charo?
Mark Harmon. Oh,
I can't find it.
It's not
it
on
now,
there?
Well, I'll find it.
No, the internet's a big place. We'll find it. It's there somewhere. Can we talk food for just a little bit?
Yes.
The world of food, Wendy, as you know, is always changing. And Pepsi has put out a new flavor of Pepsi. Tell me what you think of this. Is this the kind of thing that you would run out and say, I have to have this immediately. My taste buds are, they're so excited about this. Or would you never try this under any circumstance? It's called Pepsi Fire. And it's Pepsi, cola-flavored Pepsi, of course, that also has cinnamon.
Yeah, I heard about this. And isn't it, what is that drink, the Fireball? Is that what it is? Is that what
There's
this
a
is
drink
trying
called the Fireball.
To? Because I got news for you. Nobody really loves the taste of a Fireball, do they?
I'm sure there's... I like cinnamon, but I don't. I wouldn't need it.
A Red Hot is too hot. Isn't it too hot for you?
No, Red Hot candy?
Yeah.
No, I can eat those. They're fine. I mean, they're a little bit hot, but you know what you're getting with a Red Hot. But Pepsi says the new flavor will be out on May the 22nd. They describe it as cola with an unconventional cinnamon-flavored twist. The soda sounds refreshing on its own, but it says it gets even better. You'll be able to order a Slurpee version of Pepsi Fire at participating 7-Elevens from May through June. I'm not sure this sounds good to me. I mean, there's certain Pepsi flavors, like vanilla Pepsi or vanilla Coke is good. Cherry Pepsi or Coke is good. But cinnamon is a hard sell for me.
Not for a drink. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like Jägermeister and Fireballs, those are things like you just slam it and it's done. To me, I don't know a lot of people that would just drink it and sip it for pleasure.
Right.
So would you want, I mean, and wouldn't it clash with, like, say you have a hot dog with onions on it and now you're having cinnamon? Although you'd have fresh breath.
I guess you would. See, a couple companies that make breath mints have a cinnamon version of the breath mint, and to me that almost negates the purpose. I want like a cool, fresh flavor. I don't want a hotter flavor. I want something that has more of a, you know, a wintergreen or a peppermint flavor. It says Pepsi's launching the campaign in conjunction with their new drink. Their ad campaign says, get it while it's hot. That's smart.
That.
The campaign includes a snapshot promotion where fans who find specially marked packs of Pepsi Fire or Pepsi or Diet Pepsi or Pepsi Zero Sugar or Wild Cherry Pepsi can snap, unlock, and win an app to experience the unique geo filters, lenses, and a Pepsi mobile game. I like when you just opened a can of Pepsi and drank it. You didn't have to use your phone.
Right.
What happened to that? I can't do that anymore.
Times are changing, Bill.
I have to log on now to enjoy a Pepsi. As well as be entered a chance to win prizes. It says, we're not sure if the new flavor will have as strong a cinnamon taste as a hot tamale or Big Red Gum.
Hot tamales are too hot for me.
Those are a little hotter than Red Hots, right? Just a little bit hotter.
I mean, and they're really good at the very beginning, but then they kick into like full-blown cinnamon.
Yeah, I agree with you. Can people really tell... Oh, for Mother's Day, we went to yesterday. We went to a restaurant that had margaritas, and my wife got a margarita. And this is a trend I've seen in a couple of restaurants now, where it's not just a regular margarita, but they put something in there to make it really hot. Like your first flavor of it is lime, but then a half a second later, the real hot kicks in. And I couldn't, like, she goes, "Oh, try this. You're gonna love this."
Did they like it? 'Cause
yeah, they loved it.
That would have.
I couldn't. It wasn't for me.
I would have sent it back.
It was on purpose. Like you can get a regular margarita.
Oh,
or
they wanted the hot
kinda
one.
Kind of hot. Yeah. I don't like it in there. I like the lime. I like it to be cold and, you know, cool tasting, not burn my throat. Can people really tell the difference between Mexican and American Coke? It says in a related story.
Yes.
The difference being is that they still use
100%
real sugar in Mexico, but not here for some reason. It says for many Americans, Mexican Coke holds the mythic status as better Coke. See, I remember when we were growing up, all Coke was like that,
right.
And Pepsi too.
And so what they use the
corn sweetener, right?
Yeah, but can I tell you something? We are so used to the way the Coke is now that when I have a Mexican Coke,
it's too
like
much sugar.
It just it's like, oh, that's not good because we're not used to it. Like I. had Coca-Cola all the time, the regular, not the new Coke.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And being on the radio, it gave me some kind of, I don't know, it like coated my throat. I don't know if it was the sugar. So I made the switch to Diet Coke. And now when I go back and have a real Coke, I hate it. Just because you get used to what you're drinking. It's just different. It's a completely different taste to me.
Did you notice, like, if you go to a place, Mariano's is a good example of this. If you go down there, their soda pop aisle, in addition to the regular brands you're used to, they have a bunch of, like, almost like microbrewery pop.
We just bought some of those at Mariano's.
They're
Dylan
really
wanted a selection. They have various kinds of root beer.
Right.
It's almost like if you go to the liquor section and you can pick one bottle of beer and make a variety pack. You can do that with the soda.
Right.
It's awesome.
Most of the smaller companies go out of their way to let you know that they're using 100% cane sugar. Like there was a time not that long ago that a company would shy away from that because they're like, boy, if you put sugar on the label, no one's going to buy it. They're going to see sugar and go, I don't need all that sugar. But now there's been like a backlash of that where the companies go, we want you to know we're not using anything other than real sugar.
But see, that's what I'm confused about, and I know if Orion's listening, he's going to be mad at me. I just have questions about the corn syrup because our bodies are used to processing sugar,
right?
And I have heard and read that our bodies don't really process the corn syrup.
Oh, I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know either. I just know I drink it, and I know it's in a lot
of
things.
Put up the Orion signal. It's like the bat signal, but it's got a big giant O. Flash it off the sky. All right, so there's that to discuss, and then there's another food story that is really entertaining about how pizza is now being eaten in other parts of the world.
Hasn't it always been?
They're putting other things on pizza in other countries. That
fish?
I don't,
aside from anchovies?
No, fish is not mentioned, but some of these are a little suspect. You know, we're used to certain things here in the U.S. on our pizza, but in other parts of the world, all bets are off. They'll put other things on that may not appeal to you. So we'll tell you what those are. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right. So a little bit of food talk with Wendy and myself. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to chime in.
Can I ask you a question from a listener on behalf of a listener?
Sure.
You had mentioned this new Pepsi that is really hot.
Pepsi Fire with an exclamation point.
And it's cinnamony.
Yeah, it is.
A listener, 708, points out cinnamon, the spice, when you eat it, is not hot. Why is the candy version hot?
I can't figure that out. I don't know why anytime they make something that is cinnamon flavored, they go out of their way to let you know, be ready because this stuff's going to burn you. I don't know why.
Because I love cinnamon, and cinnamon's very good for you.
Yeah.
It really is. It's been shown to lower blood sugar. Diabetics should have a little cinnamon in their life, not the sugar with it.
Cinnamon toast is not hot.
No, cinnamon rolls.
Those are not hot.
You guys are making me want hot tamales. So I love those candies.
They're really good, aren't they?
They're great. They're and those are hot.
Those are hot.
But really, why does cinnamon candy, why is it hot when in real life cinnamon isn't?
Right, cinnamon's
not.
Sure.
Like peppermint, that's hot.
I'm still trying to solve blue raspberry. I don't know why they make things that are blue raspberry because there are no blue raspberries.
I got to tell you, that is my go-to
color. The Kool-Aid
color.
Man wanted it, though.
Right. That's why. I don't know. It's so weird. Even as a kid, like, that was always an option.
The Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, they would have blue raspberries.
That was my go-to color all the time. It's really, and you're right, raspberries aren't blue.
No.
I don't get it. Why not red raspberry?
I think it's because there are so many other fruits. It could be cherry. It could be strawberry. It could be red apple. So maybe they did it.
Red apple? Yeah. Isn't it green apple?
I've
never seen red apple candy in my life.
There is some. There's a couple. They make red apple candy. Red apple delicious bits. You never had those?
No, but I can't wait to look for them.
Oh, they're so good.
All right, and funky pizza things?
Yeah. All right, so here in the United States, you know, we have our things that we normally put on pizza. I don't even have to list. Don't make me list them, because I will. But, it's sausage, it's pepperoni, it's mushroom, it's onion, okay. But around the globe, they experiment a little bit differently. For instance, in England, it is now commonplace to get corn on pizza. Ugh. Does that even sound a little bit appetizing to you? Why would you do that? That doesn't fit.
Why would you do that?
I don't understand it. In Japan, it is not uncommon for them to order pizza with mayonnaise on it.
Okay. First of all, I don't see Japanese being crazy about mayonnaise to begin with.
Right.
Well, they like, spicy mayo and sushi.
Yeah.
It's kind of, that's, you know.
So well, that's just wasabi, right?
No, no, no. There's like another spicy sauce that they put inside of sushi that's not wasabi.
It's like a mayonnaise.
It's similar to mayonnaise. Yeah. It's kind of like a spicy mayonnaise.
So is that the type of mayonnaise they put? Because I would try that.
Yep. It's
good.
It's Hellmann's. They love Hellmann's in Japan. In France, you can get a fried egg on your pizza. And cigarettes.
I got to tell you, I love eggs. I love eggs. I can't get enough eggs, especially a good over easy egg. But I don't want it on my burger, and I don't want it on my pizza.
No.
Let eggs stand on their own.
Separate. Absolutely. I'm with you. In China, I don't know what this is. Maybe, Kim, maybe you know, Wendy, you might. Durian fruit. I don't know what that is. Is that something
durian
I should do?
Durian fruit?
Durian. D-U-R-I-A-N. Durian fruit.
No,
I'm not sure what that is. In Brazil, they put peas on pizza.
I don't like peas. I don't peas
at
don't
all?
Need to be anywhere.
Nowhere under any circumstances.
No. I like it in pot roast. It's pretty to look at, but I don't.
You don't need them on pizza, do you?
They're not good.
In Costa Rica, many places will offer you coconut pizza. That's unnecessary. Coconut's fine, but not on pizza. And I've saved the best for last. Are you seatbelted in?
Guess Whitney Houston or whoever sang that song.
In Finland, smoked reindeer often finds its way onto a pizza.
Mm. Ooh.
Although, if you eat
probably like pepperoni or something.
Durian fruit is supposedly a really ugly fruit that smells terrible. So go ahead. I don't know why you'd put it on a pizza.
Yeah, I don't know what the benefit would be.
If they eat reindeer all the time.
Yeah. Well, not all the time.
Well, I bet they eat it more than
Christmas
we do.
Not at Christmas time. That'd be sad. I would take the entire month of Christmas off from eating reindeer if I lived in Finland. But then back to January, I'd eat twice as much to make up for it.
But like we eat, you know, ground beef and people put ground beef on pizza.
Right. It was my dad's theory. My dad told me once that everybody likes ground beef on pizza. And I said, I don't think that's true.
Not me.
He said everybody does.
Yeah, I don't.
He was ordering it, and he goes, I'll just get ground beef because everybody likes that. I go, everybody doesn't like that. No, everybody does.
Not on pizza.
No. No.
Your dad should be listed as
my dad
pizza
is listed
atrocities.
On there. It says that he gets ground beef and smoked reindeer when he's in Finland. How about that? All right, we must take a break. A little bit of a break, some news from Kim, and then Eric Zorn stops by. He's going to be sad. Something happened over the weekend that I know will make Eric sad. Can we explore that a little bit? All right. Well, hold on. That's coming. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
It's Zorn.
It is Zorn. It's Eric Zorn, our friend from the Chicago Tribune. And Eric, I already told Wendy this, and I told the listeners, and now I'm telling you, I have some sad news that's going to just depress you.
I don't know what it is.
I am sitting down, so.
Are you ready? Now, you know me. I'm not the guy who likes to bring bad news.
You're Mr. Sunshine.
I'm Mr. Sunshine. I'm like vitamin E, Wendy.
That's D. Vitamin D.
D is the sun.
No, I'm like vitamin E.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Vitamin E, isn't that for like male enhancement or something like that?
That's okay. That's what I am.
It's, no.
It's not?
This conversation is really rocking along here.
It's like Bill on steroids.
The television show, Son of Zorn, has been canceled. No more Son of Zorn. Done.
We should have bought that action figure for him.
I know.
It's going to go up
skyrocket
in price.
Now.
Well, you know, I'm a mixed mind about that.
I think you'd be happy.
I'm a little happy because I remember, you know, like, what about some guy whose name was Homer Simpson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was it, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, and he sees a little show coming out. Oh, there's a guy, there's a character with your name. And he's like, oh, that's funny. And then, like, 5 years later, the guy, everybody he meets says, oh, Homer Simpson, duh.
Right. You can't escape it.
Or Bart Simpson.
At least he gets more attention.
You can't escape it.
Have you gotten any kind of residual interest?
Residual. That's what I want is residuals.
Residuals.
My God.
Has anyone ever mentioned to you, because the show's been on Fox for a year. Do they go, oh, are you any relation to the cartoon on Fox?
They don't. In fact, that's probably why the show's going off the air is not enough people are watching it in order to make these little allusions.
And but talking about residuals, you probably owe them for playing the theme.
Oh, yikes.
No, I don't know that the station does. The station does.
Right.
I never thought about that. You wrote a very interesting article about our ownership changing.
Oh, yes, a week ago.
Yeah. What has been the effect of that? Because I've had about a dozen people over the last couple of days say, if you haven't read Eric Zorn's article, and I had already.
You say, come on. I read his articles when they come out.
Every day, as soon as they come out. But what has there been any effect since you've written the article?
Effect?
Yeah.
Well, I've talked to a lot of your colleagues. You know, I run into them in the building here and on the podcast and so on. And there seems to be, just to catch people up on this, if everyone's not paying attention, that WGN, Tribune Media, has been bought by Sinclair Broadcasting, which is basically a television organization,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, they own a little bit of radio property, but not...
I think WGN will be like their fifth radio station.
Yeah.
And they own 232 TV stations. They're all about TV.
Yeah.
And the radio stations they own are all out in the Seattle-Tacoma area. And the one talk station they have is a really right-wing station. It's kind of like WIND here. It just basically runs wall-to-wall. Some local people, but mostly syndicated, you know, Michael Medved and people like that, mm-hmm. that kind of talk. And, of course, the fear is that they'll take that same approach to programming WGN AM. My thought is, just looking at, from what I wrote, is that this station does a lot better than the right-wing stations. It does a lot better than WLSAM, which is basically half conservative syndicated talk.
Yeah.
You look at the ratings here, they do better. So if you're just in this for the money, which most companies are in for the money, you would say this station has got a market niche.
It's performing.
It is performing. You guys are making money. It's like... And they're not. This is not like their life's dream to own WGNAM. They wanted the television station for the most part, and I don't think they're going to make radical changes in the television station. I looked at what they did in Washington when they bought a major market TV station there, and there was a lot of fear. Like, what are they going to do here? And basically, what they did was they added a conservative commentator to their morning news block.
Mandatory thing they had to run.
Yeah, and they ran some, and they changed the focus of their news operation a little bit more toward government waste. Now, of course, that's in Washington, D.C. I don't look for them to like change the fundamental nature of WGN. I don't think they're going to fire Micah Mater or something like that.
No.
And bring in Ann Coulter. I mean, I don't think that kind of stuff is going to happen. I think that for the most part, those are going to be sort of minor changes. This is a politically driven. Your new owners, as of October or something like that, are more, looking at politics. They're more of a right wing station. But again, I don't anticipate that they would do that. On the other hand, because it isn't a big part of their operation, they might say, hey, we'll just lose money and we'll
run what we want,
run propaganda on our station. In talks with people like you guys, people are like, well, what I say to them is what I said to myself and to all our colleagues back in 2008 when Sam Zell bought the Chicago Tribune. Sam Zell is a very conservative man, and people were saying, well, you're going to start changing your columns to try to appeal to Sam Zell. I said, no, I'm not going to do that because. First of all, I got my self-respect, but also that wouldn't work anyway. I mean, if he wants a conservative columnist, he's not going to like watch me trim my sails and go, that's the guy I want. It's like, I do what I do and I do the best job I can.
Sure.
And if that's not what they want, then, I'm not going to be in on the meetings where they're, changing that kind of thing at the newspaper. And you guys aren't going to be in those meetings when they make the decisions about this radio station. You guys have to do, the best job that you can do here and get the ratings that you can. And
hope for the best.
And hope for the best. You do what you do and you do it well. And that's the way to
go. During Sam Zell's era, there was never was there ever any edict from him or anyone in management to slant things more to the right? I don't think that ever happened.
There never was that. Certainly there wasn't one that filtered down to my level.
Yeah,
and as famous as I am as a father, the best father that ever was born. I'm still at a level where I respond to supervisors and so on. Never once did they say, maybe you want to go easy on never,
right?
Not once. And I haven't. And I talked to all the other columnists, and I never heard anybody say that. It's they wanted us to present a variety of views. Steve Chapman, Clarence Page, me, John Cass, all these people. We have this range of views, and that's what they wanted. And Zell never, his people never meddled with us at that level. They were doing other stuff, sort of programming, moving things around,
sure.
but changing some managers around. But as far as I never heard, no one ever said, crack down on that guy. And so that's kind of what I would expect from Sinclair, but.
All speculation at this point.
It's all speculation at this point. And again, the other thing is, what are you going to do about it, right? I mean, it's like at our level, we're the sort of the frontline interface between the public and the institution.
Right.
And so like I said, we just do what we do.
Sure.
And
until we're told
not to do it, until they come and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, maybe you should go and, you know, sell auto insurance or something.
But, is it true that during Black Hawk broadcasts, they'll only air goals scored by right wingers? Is that true?
that's true.
That's going to be totally crazy. True.
But, you know, they didn't change the line of a columnist. They didn't change the comic strips. They didn't change. You know, yeah. It's like basically, you know, as these people who get into this are out to make money. They've got shareholders to answer to in most cases. And that's what they're about. They're really not about deciding they're going to throw a lot of money into some sort of propaganda effort for the most part. I mean, it could be wrong, but what are you guys hearing around here? People are obviously talking about it, right?
A mixed bag. Would that be safe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a lot of speculation because no one knows when there would be any changes of any kind.
And again, your choice is to do your job or is to like say, I'll go look somewhere else now. And this is what, you know, this is what we face in the newsroom. And a number of people did jump. They went to Bloomberg. They went to, they went into the private sector. They did, you know, PR, university PR. A lot of people left. They didn't want to take the chance. And that's certainly a
sense. I'm here till they tell me to leave, which could be tomorrow or at the end of today's show. I'm not really sure.
We have 15 minutes until then, and then, you know.
So we're fine.
After your bonus hour. Right. They would never.
They won't tamper with the bonus hour.
What kind of bonus is that?
Yeah, such a
deal. All right. So you guys are feeling pretty good.
Well, we hope so, but, you know,
there's no way to know what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, I wanted to talk about some stuff that Trump said recently. Can we do that right now?
Not right now, Eric. Can we wait just a couple short minutes? We'll do a quick commercial break, and then Eric Zorn has some things he wants to get off his chest. So stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Back to you, Mr. Sunshine.
Well, thank you, Wendy. Speaking of beautiful and energy efficient, Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. Eric, there are other things that we haven't even touched upon that you wanted to discuss.
It's so funny that you should use the expression energy efficient.
Yeah.
Because one of the things I wanted to talk about was, and this is, the New Yorker resurfaced this last week, and it has to do with Donald Trump's view of exercise.
Oh.
And this was, like I said, it was featured in a New Yorker article last week, and I hadn't seen this, and I don't know who had seen it, but the Washington Post did a 2016 biography of Trump. And it said that Trump gave up athletics after college because he believed the human body was like a battery with a finite amount of energy that exercise only depleted.
Hmm.
And when he learned that one of his top...
I like him more.
I know. When he learned that one of his top casino executives was training for an Ironman triathlon, he said, "You're going to die young because of this."
Oh, that's an interesting theory.
Well, my thing was, well, thank goodness, what a great excuse not to exercise. Gosh, I'd love to go out and, you know, walk around the block with you, dear, but I only have a finite amount of energy in left, and I want to spend it on, on other things. But of course, it's completely wrong. This is a belief that dates back to, you know, the Victorian era with your, you know, bodily humors and so on. And science now knows that exercise actually, you know,
as
Vox put it, in looking at this, they say it's exercise is actually the closest thing we have to a miracle cure.
Yeah,
that it is something that increases your energy and efficiency and your life span. So,
but he golfs quite often, and that's a form of exercise.
Yeah, you don't golf though.
I do not.
And he takes a cart when he golfs.
Yeah.
Golfing in a cart is fairly mild exercise.
Yeah.
I mean, I prefer to walk when I play.
Yeah.
I like the rhythm of the game when you walk.
Sure.
And the cart breaks up that rhythm. But it's just not. It's not. You have to walk around the greens, but it's not strong exercise. I mean, but the takeaway from this, for me, is that among all the other faults that I believe our president has, he's a crank.
A little bit.
He's a crank. Yeah. He believes in just weird, false stuff.
Right, right. Many of it outdated. Much of it outdated.
That is just nutty.
Yeah.
I did a piece over the weekend. You know, last week the news was completely dominated by the firing of James Comey, which seems to have just been an impulsive act by the president. He didn't bring in his communication team or his top staff until, you know, like an hour before he did it. They have a terribly confused message. They go out and they were like saying, oh, this was all about the memo from the assistant attorney general. This was not Donald Trump. Donald Trump was just listening to his people. And then Trump turns around, throws them all under the bus a couple of days later, saying, yeah, it was all my idea. I was going to do it anyway. And it was all about, you know.
True or false? Comey finds out he's been fired by watching it on television.
That is true.
That is true.
He saw it in the image. But there was this interview with Trump that appeared in The Economist, London-based magazine. They had been given like half an hour with him. And the transcript of that came out on Thursday while the world is all going crazy over the whole Comey story.
Yeah.
This interview was just astounding in listening to how Trump talks and how he thinks or doesn't think and what he doesn't know. I devoted my entire column on Sunday to this. I just want to read just a couple of quotes from him here. They asked him a question about whether his proposal to eliminate the estate tax was going to only benefit the highest earners, which, of course, it would. But they asked him this, and he said, I get more deductions. I mean, I can tell you this. I get more deductions. They have deductions for birds flying across America. They have deductions for everything. There are more deductions. Now you're going to get an interest deduction and a charitable deduction, but we're not going to have all this nonsense they have right now that complicates things and makes it. You know, when we put out that one page, I said we should really put out, a big thing. And then I looked at the one page. Honestly, it's pretty well covered. Hard to believe. That's his answer.
Hmm.
Now, listen to this answer. They asked him, what does he think about the need for Democratic lawmakers to help support his tax plan?
Yeah.
Depending. It depends on which plan, which concept we've got to. But it could be, I think the Democrats are going to like it. We may align it with infrastructure, which they like. They like it as much as Republicans like it. We need infrastructure in our country. This country has wasted $6 trillion in the Middle East. Wasted, like taking it and throwing it right out the window, right into the Rose Garden. See that beautiful Rose Garden?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like,
do you remember when you were in sixth grade?
Hey, and look, a squirrel.
There'd be a test that you didn't study for, and the teacher would say, why was the signing of the Magna Carta important? And on your paper, you'd put, the signing of the Magna Carta, or any document throughout the beginning of time, and yes, I'm going back to dinosaur days, you stall.
Webster defines Magna.
So don't you get an element, almost any time he's asked a question, it is the sixth grade answer to a question you didn't study for?
Yeah, I'm not going to read this whole answer, but they asked him then about the border adjustment tax of Mexico, where they're going to try to charge greater tariffs for goods coming into the country. And he immediately goes off into talking about Obamacare and health care, which hadn't been brought up for like 20 minutes in the interview. Healthcare was something he goes, I want to talk about Obamacare now. And he doesn't even get close to answering the question. And then there are places in the interview where he just gets things completely wrong. He says we're the highest tax nation in the world, which is not even close to true. You look at the 32 leading economies of the world, and we're like fourth or fifth from the bottom in terms of the overall tax burden on the individual. And then the part that I found the most troubling about this is he's talking about China. And he's just kind of rambling on. He's talking about President Xi Jinping. He goes, I think I like him a lot. I think he likes me a lot. He's a great guy. And then they're talking about, during the campaign, Trump was always on the stump saying, I'm going to label China a currency manipulator on day one of my administration.
Yeah.
And he says, since I've been talking about currency manipulation with respect to them and other countries, they stopped. In fact, China stopped undervaluing the yuan back in 2014, because of internal things in their economy. They haven't been manipulating their currency in that way since then. And so this is something that has, everybody who knows anything about international economics, which is not me usually, I have to say, but I looked into this. I'll check the fact checkers on this. It's completely wrong, okay? He gets this wrong. But then Steve Mnuchin, who's the Treasury Secretary, the guy from Goldman Sachs, the big brain in the room, who's there standing by him, instead of gently saying, well, Mr. President, actually, or gently correcting him somehow, he jumps in and says, right, as soon as the president got elected, they went the other way.
Which isn't close to being true.
Well, the thing that's so scary about that is he's surrounding himself with these enablers, these toadies, these people who won't stand up to him and who won't tell him when he's wrong, who won't correct him. And this is a guy who's wrong a lot, who doesn't know a lot. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. And that's what was so scary about this interview is first he's rambling like this sort of, again, we talked about this before, he sounds like kind of your uncle who's had a couple too many drinks at Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's got people around him who are supposed to keep him inside the guardrails. And instead they're like encouraging this. I mean, it's a delusion. It is a delusion on his part that China stopped being a currency manipulator the day that he was elected.
Because it's been 3 years.
It's been 3 years. So the fact that he's not surrounding himself with people who know how to tell him no, and everybody who's in power needs people around him, the wait a sec guy.
The
hang on boss guy.
Right.
You need somebody like that. And this is what I've been hearing a lot on the Sunday shows, a lot on these is people who are experienced in this, who remember the Nixon years, say that is really your problem. You need somebody who is going to tell you, no, don't do this, and who are you going to listen to? And
so has Richard Nixon been mentioned more times in the past week than he had been in the last 10 years?
It's just been a great season. I love the tweet from the Richard Nixon Library. You know?
What'd they say?
They tweeted out, they said, you know, Nixon never fired an FBI director.
Oh, how about that? Like,
they're trolling. They're trolling Trump from the Nixon. I mean, of all, when you got the Nixon right. Library,
then you know
calling
something's
your guy,
up.
Calling your guy.
That's Eric Zorn. Read him in the Chicago Tribune.
He invented the phrase priming the pump. Eric
yeah,
that's
Zorn
oh, well, that,
yeah.
Yeah, I would like to take credit for that. Well, that, I mean, that was the headline out of that interview, was that that Trump seemed to think that he invented the phrase priming the pump.
But he had used it before.
He had used it
right,
before.
That's
that
what I
was
mean.
The weird thing. Is he
but he didn't invent it then.
I thought of it the other day, and you find references to it in speeches going back a couple months. So, yeah, it is. It was a deranged.
Can't they just show him documents or evidence that he didn't invent that? It's got
to
be public
Who's
going
to be the one to show it to him?
That's the problem.
That's
he
the
doesn't
problem.
Have people around showing him. I mean, priming the pump as an economic term, it goes back to the 30s. So
forever. Anyway. Yeah. All right. That's Eric Zorn. Stick around. We'll find out what Steve has next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill Leffler, Wendy Snyder on WGN.